Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you this morning and bring greetings from Sharksville and welcome any of you there, any opportunities you get. For text this morning, I'm going to look at Matthew 14. And I'd like to think a little bit about perspective this morning. And the dictionary describes perspective as a point of view, the ability to view things in their true relations or relative importance. One definition said that your perspective tints everything that you see. And that means that two people can see the exact same thing and draw two different conclusions. Often our past experiences shape our perspective. Our hope or our optimism might tint our view of our future. Oftentimes what we're currently going through affects our perspective. Our perspective helps us decide if what we're facing is a setback or if it's a test to improve or a lesson. One place I read that perspective not only determines what we see, but what we notice first. And our perspective is shaped by many things. It might be shaped by who our family was. I grew up in a family of all boys. I had no sisters. That shaped my perspective of girls. Not right or wrong, but that's just the way it was. We grew up on a dairy farm. We milked cows twice a day, 7 days a week. You planned everything around that milking schedule. That was our perspective. You didn't go too far away because you needed to be home. You maybe had to fix something on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning because the animals needed to be fed. It's part of your perspective, working until something was finished, working till it was done. Not until it was time to punch out. Yesterday I was talking to my brother Greg for a while and he said something about if I know how it is always being the youngest brother. And I don't. That's his perspective. I was the oldest brother. He was the youngest. We have two different perspectives even though we were raised in the same house, same family. And your perspective about life and health can change in an instant when something happens to someone that you love. When you find out that someone has an incurable disease or someone passes away. And each of us can blame or credit our perspective on what we have experienced. But I can change what I notice and what I see. I can change my perspective. But your perspective never changes what truth is. So I'm going to read these verses out of Matthew 14. We'll start at verse 22. And when I'm done reading these verses, I'm going to ask you, what do you see in these verses? Like, if you would have been there, what would you have seen? Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What all do you see in this story?
Troubling experiences.
Okay. And I'm looking for maybe something more specific. Like I see Jesus on a mountain praying for as to start this example. What else do we see here? Wanted to spend time alone with God.
He was walking on the sea.
See, Jesus walking on the water. I had to think, and this isn't edifying, but did Jesus take his sandals off to walk on the water? Did they get wet? Or was this like a path to him? I don't know. It's just a random thought that came to me.
See a little boat in the middle of the sea with big waves around it, they couldn't see the edge.
A ship that is tossed with waves in the middle of a storm. That's right.
An impulsive Peter.
Yeah, an impulsive Peter, yes. I don't know. It's a good question.
Along with that, he was the only one that asked to go to Jesus to walk on the water. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe suggested that possibly he had some faith that he could if Jesus was close by.
Yeah, not only do we see Jesus walking, but we see Peter walking.
The winds and the waves have brought this out.
The winds and the waves instantly calm. How many of you see Jesus reaching out his hand to take hold of Peter and help him back up? Some people will see the sinking person and some people will see the hand reaching down to help them. Do you see Peter and Jesus walking back to the ship hand in hand? Because I don't believe Peter left go. I believe they walked together back to the boat. I see the people on the ship worshiping Jesus after they experienced that miracle. These are just some things that I see as I look at this story. And you might be sitting here thinking, does perspective even matter? Is how I see things important? And the goal of the message is to help us to have a perspective that is based on the Bible, a perspective that knows where to find help, a perspective that is waiting and asking for Jesus to give direction in our life, and then follow it. And the message title is Peter's Perspective. And going back to the story here, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. And in John 6, this account says that Jesus perceived that the men there wanted to make him a king. They wanted to make him their leader. But he knew that that wasn't God's plan for his life. He knew that that wasn't why he was on earth. So he sent his disciples away, and he went off by himself to pray. He went up in the mountain. And I'd like to present some points to help us have a biblical, eternal perspective. And the first one I get here is in verse 23, and that is prayer. And I don't really have these in order of importance, but I have them as I came to them throughout this story. And the number one is prayer. In verse 23, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And you might say, well, this was Jesus, this wasn't Peter, but I believe it's still part, it impacted Peter's perspective. And as we read of how Peter followed Jesus, I believe that prayer became an integral part of Peter's life also. If you think of Jesus being God and taking time to spend time alone with his Father, I believe it should show us the importance that prayer needs to be in our own life. And Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. And I believe that when we pray, we do not bring God down to our level, but we attempt to reach up to God. And there's a lot of times where people say, oh, God accepts me as I am, and they try to bring God down to their level. But even Jesus realized that God was above him here, I believe. We realize that God is over us, and that helps us have a perspective of humility, a perspective of awe and respect, a perspective of responsibility and following his leading. And how should we pray? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I don't believe this means that we can't tell others that we're praying for them. But I believe that when our prayers are answered, we need to give God the glory because those prayers were answered. And prayer isn't always talking. Prayer is also listening. Prayer is communication with God. Second thing I see here in this story is that the spiritual is more important than the physical. Get that out of verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. You know, we don't have recorded that the disciples and those in the ship were afraid of the winds and the waves. It doesn't say that they wished Jesus was there to calm the storm. A number of the disciples were fishermen. They were used to the water. They had probably experienced storms like this before. What about us? You know, if we have an earthly perspective, we can get used to the sin around us. And we forget that we have a need of Jesus in our life. And then when we see Jesus, we're afraid because we were not ready, we were not expecting to see him. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, there's a spiritual warfare going on right now for every one of our souls. And the devil does his best to distract us from this fact. He wants us to become too busy to spend time in prayer and Bible reading. He wants us to focus more on our earthly stuff than our eternal destiny. And he doesn't want us to recognize Jesus when we see him. Third point is know Jesus. To know Jesus, and this is K-N-O-W, not N-O. Know Jesus. And this might seem pretty elementary, but it's possible to know who somebody is. It's possible to know about them and what they are doing and not know them. There's a lot of followers today that follow people on social media. But when I follow Jesus, he knows me. If I follow someone online, they don't know me. And there's a big difference. between knowing who is following you and who you are following. Verse 28 of our text. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Peter was 100% sure it was Jesus when he said, come. There was no doubt that Jesus was who he said he was. Because Peter had a relationship with Jesus. Peter recognized Jesus' voice. The relationship Peter had went a lot deeper than a friend or talking about the weather. Because Peter had his name because of Jesus. When Jesus met Peter, he changed his name from Simon to Peter. It says in Mark 3:16, and Simon, he surnamed Peter. And in John 1:42, it says Jesus named him Cephas, meaning a stone. Simon means to be someone who listens attentively. But Jesus changed his name to Peter, meaning a rock. Their relationship filled Peter's life. That's what made Peter, his relationship with Jesus. Does your relationship with Jesus fill your life? Has Jesus changed your name? You know, our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing we can ever have. And that this event seems to be fairly early in their relationship, fairly early in the Gospels here, but they were in a committed relationship here. They already knew each other. And as you look at Peter's life, as you go through the Gospels, Peter was privileged to be along at the Transfiguration. Peter was in the room when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Peter was the only one that questioned Jesus washing his feet. Peter wanted to be with Jesus, but he also denied Jesus. And you know, in relationships today, there will be misunderstandings. There will be hurts. There will be offenses. But if we value that relationship, we will do our best to restore it. Sometimes trust is shattered to the extent that it seems impossible to repair. But if both individuals are striving to know Jesus, then I believe our earthly relationships can also be restored. You know, as we look at Peter's life, Jesus asked him some hard questions. He gave him some difficult assignments. Peter wanted to know Jesus, and he wanted his relationship to be strong. He didn't focus on the hard things. He focused on Jesus. And if hard things were part of knowing him, of knowing Jesus, he accepted them and faced the challenges. Let's look at John 21. I think I'll just read the first 22 verses here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea, And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And you know, here we have Peter going back to what he understood. He understood fishing. And he went and caught no fish. And he didn't know it was Jesus on the shore. But as soon as they caught the fish, they realized who was on the shore. And it says Peter jumped in the water and headed for land. And they have, I read some history on this, and they thought they knew where this was. That if you go 100 yards out, that water was roughly 12 feet deep and just gradually tapered in toward land. So Peter knew how to swim. And yet in the earlier account, he called out for help. It wasn't a storm here, but his desire was to be with Jesus. And here was an opportunity, and he wasn't going to wait on it. He dove right in. And Jesus fed the disciples fish that he already had. And then he asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I wonder if he asked this question of him three times because Peter had denied him three times. I don't know that. But Jesus also used his old name, Simon. Was Jesus trying to get Peter to reflect on his past and see where he had came from? The word name Simon meant to listen attentively. Is that what he was trying to get his attention with? I don't know, but Jesus was showing Peter that he had a new responsibility in life. He was changing Peter's perspective. He was now supposed to feed the lambs and sheep of the great shepherd. And Jesus' last statement to Peter that is recorded here is, Follow me. And I believe each of us has the same command from Jesus. Do I know Jesus enough to be following his leading? Point number four, be aware of danger. Not everything that is dangerous has a warning sign on it or a caution label. You know, an electric panel might have a sign on it that says, Danger, high voltage. Make sure power is off before opening. a cleaner we might use, might say, use in a well-ventilated area, avoid contact with skin and eyes, and we'll give directions on who to call or so on if something happens. But verse 30 says that beginning to sink, as soon as Peter felt himself sinking, he cried out for help. He was aware of the danger. And I believe that physical safety is very important. Shields are put on machinery to protect us from moving parts. Safety switches are there to keep us safe. But I believe our spiritual safety is more important than our physical safety. Are you aware of the potential spiritual danger that you're probably carrying around in your pocket? You know, your phone doesn't have a warning label on it. I contain spiritual danger. But it should. It's not always as obvious as stepping out of the boat and trying to walk on water. And you know, with the use of AI or artificial intelligence now, it's become even harder to know what is truth and what is made up. But you know, we can know what truth is. We can spend time in God's Word. We can spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can know the truth. We can know Jesus. We need to spend time in His Word, not in some podcast that entertains more than it edifies. Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? No, this world is a dangerous place. John 17:11-16, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know, Jesus knew that this world wasn't a good place for his children, but he prayed for our safety. He prayed for our protection. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, sometimes we think we're on solid ground when we're actually about to start sinking. And this starts in our thoughts. It's our perspective. Our thoughts. Am I aware that I am in dangerous territory? Point number 5, ask for help. Ask for help. Verse 30, Peter cries out, Lord, save me. You know, our perspective only improves when we become saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize that we can't face life on our own strength, we can start relying on Jesus and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it takes a personal commitment. It takes personal responsibility and accountability. And the human nature doesn't want any of that. But it's all part of following Jesus. It's part of hearing Jesus say, come, and getting up and going. And that might mean stepping out of the boat. The humanistic perspective says, I've got this all under control. If I think about this long enough, I'll figure it out myself. The pride in our natural man hates asking for help. It's humiliating to acknowledge that I can't do something by myself. But Jesus isn't looking for proud disciples that have everything under control. He's looking for disciples he can use. He's looking for disciples he can save. And for people that need him. Last point, point number 6. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Verse 33. They that were in the ship came and worshiped him. And Adam Clark believes that this wasn't a boatload of disciples. He believes this was a ship that was like a ferry that hauled people back and forth across the sea. And that there was people on this boat that didn't know Jesus. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I believe that everybody worships something or someone. Am I worshiping Jesus? And if I am, is it causing the people around me to worship Jesus? You know, my perspective determines what's important. And that shows the people around me what I worship, regardless of what I am verbally telling them. Heard about a conversation that happened the other night, a hockey game. And the one boy said to the other, he said, you know, he said, hockey equipment is kind of a waste. So we only use it a month or so out of the year, and we buy it, and we have it, and we don't use it very much. And the second boy said, well, he said, is that different than your hunting equipment? And I'm not here promoting hockey or promoting hunting or this is merely, I'm relaying a conversation. But I think the rest of the conversation may have pointed to where some of this perspective was a little flawed. And because the first boy said, well, he said, at least after hunting season, hopefully I have a big buck to hang on the wall. And you can't do that with your hockey equipment. Now, what is important here? The second boy asked the first, and how will that benefit your children and grandchildren? And I think that's a valid question because I have been at estate auctions where they were throwing the mounted fish and the mounted birds and the mounted animals that nobody wanted right into the dumpster. And that can change my perspective because while it may mean something to me, it doesn't mean anything to anyone else. And some of you here probably remember my grandfather Raymond. And he was not a man that had many of this world's goods. But today I have the book that he taught instruction class out of. My brother has a box of his notes that he preached from. And he used old electric bills. He used flyers that came in the mail. He used any scrap paper he had for his notes. So there's very little order there. But it means nothing to anyone else, but to his children and grandchildren, there was some value there. If my life is wrapped up in worshiping my stuff, the next generation will know it, regardless of what I tell them. But if my life is wrapped up in worshiping Jesus, the people around us will know that too. So I believe that our perspective matters, and we need to have a Bible-based perspective that is based on truth. Can you see Jesus in your life when he says, come? Do you ask him about the decisions that you need to make? You know, he is reaching out to help us, and he expects us to worship him so we can fulfill his commandment to follow him. Let's kneel for prayer.